الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأمته وبارك وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Fasting in this month of Ramadan, we know, is amongst the foremost pillars of Islam. Bunya al-Islam ala khams. Islam is built upon five pillars, of which fasting is one of those fundamental pillars. It is one of those great symbols of Islam. It has many purposes, as we are quite familiar with. They relate to the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Him being the provider, the cherisher, the carer of humanity. But fasting also has a significance insofar as emphasizing thanksgiving on our part for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties, for His favors. There are also other implications of fasting related to our individual and our collective life. It engenders in the hearts of people a sense of solidarity with and concern for the poor and the less fortunate. And also we know that fasting is related to our own self-training and our own self-discipline. Now, one of the most important purposes of fasting, as I've mentioned, is connected with the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is Ar-Rabb, He is the cherisher, He is the sustainer, He is the one that cares for humanity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests the perfection of His lordship. And the fact that He is Ar-Rahman, He is the most compassionate, the most beneficent, the most merciful upon the earth, where He has designed essentially our earth as a table spread. And on this table spread, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out all the varieties of His favors and His bounties that we enjoy every single day. But unfortunately, we cannot perfectly discern the reality of the situation, because we are heedless, we are careless. We take these favors for granted. And also because we are blinded by causality. I work and I earn an income and I take the money, I go to the grocery store and I'm able to purchase an item of food that has been grown by a farmer who's planted the seed. So we assume that that chain of causality essentially is reality, but the true, real provider and sustainer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a telling, very simple story of the wealthy man who was fond of having his tea in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, upon which the servant doesn't serve him the tea and he flies into a rage. He's angry, summoning his servant and demanding as to why the tea has not been served to him at 4 o'clock, as is his habit. Upon which the servant says, "Oh, my master, I don't have any sugar." And the man protests, "How can there be no sugar in my house while I am the wealthiest of men?" And he fills his pockets with gold and he marches off to the grocery store, demanding from the grocer, "Sugar, I want sugar. And I have a bag of gold for it, and I must have my tea." Upon which the grocer says, "Well, I have no sugar, because I have none delivered to me by the farmer." Upon which the man marches off to the farmer, demanding sugar and expecting a reasonable answer as to why no sugar has been delivered or has been grown by the farmer, and also saying to the farmer, "I have a bag of gold and I must have my tea, I must have my sugar." Upon which the farmer says, "My dear sir, you may have a valley full of gold, but until the rains don't fall, there will not be a single grain of sugar. So I suggest you get onto your knees and beg to the Lord of the worlds to send the rains that you may have your sugar." So what happens is that we need to break this chain of causality and go back to the source. And this is essentially what fasting does. It removes us from that heedlessness, from those blinding veils of causality that stop us from actually seeing the source of all bounty. That there is this cherishing Lord, there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who cares for and who lovingly fulfills all our needs. Now, as I mentioned, one of the purposes of fasting in this month of Ramadan is that of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a price for the food that is brought from the kitchen of that king, who is the king of all kings, by a servant carrying those trays of food. There is a price. Obviously, it would be quite foolish of us to thank the servant who serves the food to us without actually recognizing the king who sent that food. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread for insan, He's spread for us His countless bounties and favors, an infinite variety of delights that we enjoy every single day on the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's earth. And these bounties require the payment of a price. And the price is thanksgiving. And the beginning of thanksgiving is acknowledging the source. So these bounties, sometimes we forget, come from Allah. There are these apparent causes, like those who bring us the food, the servant that carries the tray of delights to us. We pay the servants, we feel indebted to those servants, and sometimes we thank them and we show them a degree of respect that really they don't merit. The true giver of bounties is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is infinitely more deserving of our thanksgiving and of our gratitude. And as a consequence, we need to turn away from the causes, from those servants, whether it be a job or successful business, whether it may be a profession or skill, whether it may be the other modalities that afford us the delights that we enjoy every single day, whether it be the greengrocer's store down the road or the farmer for that matter. These are no more than the servants that serve us the trays of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties. And if we show thanks to them, we should show infinitely more thanks to the true source of all bounty. Now, fasting during the month of Ramadan is actually the key to true, sincere, comprehensive thanksgiving. This is where the thanksgiving actually begins. Because many people are unable to appreciate most of the bounties that they enjoy simply because, well, they have them. It is only when they're made to suffer hunger, when they're deprived of those bounties, that they truly come to appreciate them. A piece of dry bread, for example, means nothing to any of us. But it becomes very valuable in the sight of a person, a Muslim, at the time of breaking his fast. And immediately, each one of us can relate to what I've just said. Because each one of us knows that even that simple little morsel that we would never give a second glance to become so desirable just prior to breaking the fast. Now everyone, whether he's a king or the poorest person, is favored in the month of Ramadan with this heartfelt thanksgiving by understanding the value of these bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confers upon us, even that dry piece of bread. Now also, because of being forbidden to eat during the daytime, a Muslim thinks that these bounties obviously don't originally belong to me, and I'm not free with regard to them as mere food or drink. There's another person who actually owns them. There's someone else who grants them to me. They're not freely accessible to me, but by his gracious permission. And by acknowledging that whatever he eats and whatever he drinks is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fasting actually becomes a key to the greatest thanksgiving, which is the highest human duty. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that at-ta'imu shakir, that the one who eats the bounties enjoys the delights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and shows true gratitude by acknowledging the source and obviously thereafter using the bounty for the purpose for which it was intended. And this person indeed is the greatest abid, he's the greatest worshipper, he's the greatest servant. There's much more that can be said with respect to fasting, and particularly the nafs. There are many purposes, like we mentioned, for the obligation of fasting. that relate particularly to the disciplining of the nafs, the soul. We spent some time a few weeks ago in some detail going through the dynamics of the nafs. Now, the nafs desires essentially to be unrestricted and free. The nafs ammara bisu, that base animal component of our psyche. It wishes for this imaginary type of lordship of sorts, to bid and dispense like Allah. It's rebellious by nature. It's disinclined to thinking that it's being actually trained and tested in this world through the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifts upon it. Rather, the nafs believes that it has a right, and in fact these bounties belong to it. Now, when the month of Ramadan comes, the nafs of every single one of us understands that rather than owning, whether it be owning a bounty or favor that it enjoys by some delusional sense of right over it, or even for that matter, rather than even owning itself, it is owned by some other. It is owned by another master that dictates. And rather than being free, it is actually a servant. The nafs is reminded that it is actually a servant. And unless it is ordered or permitted, it is unable to do even the most common thing like eating and drinking. And we do this deliberately in disciplining that component of our psyche, that nafs amara bisu. And the reason is simply to break this illusory sense of lordship, that we actually are masters of our own destiny, that we are actually lords who walk upon this earth. And so doing, we actually force the nafs into admitting that it is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we force it to perform its real duty. And the real duty of the nafs is first and foremost thanksgiving, not arrogant presumption. Because most of us arrogantly presume that we have an entitlement to all sorts of things, whether it's wealth, status, whether it's the good of this world, or the recognition and acknowledgement of others. Fasting is intended to destroy this prompting of the nafs, this illusory sense of lordship. The nafs of insan doesn't see, in fact, it does not want to see its own impotence and its own defects. It doesn't actually ever reflect how vulnerable and how fragile it is, how subject it is to decay, to decomposition. We very seldom think about how we are just a composite of flesh, of meat, of bones, and those bones and that flesh very rapidly disintegrates. It decomposes. Just yesterday I buried a brother who lived a very joyous and delightful life in Australia. He emigrated from Iran, and just yesterday I buried him with my own hands. And there's none amongst us that actually believes really that we are going to die. Each one of us feels that we're going to live forever. The notion of death and of our fragility and how our bodies and our flesh will decompose and become rotten, fetid material that we consumed by worms is beyond our sense of realization. We have some type of intellectual understanding of it, but the reality of it completely evades us. Now, our nafs, as we know every single day, rushes over this world, and it's prompted by this violent greed, and it feels that it has a body of steel and that it lives forever, and it gluttonously swallows and gobbles up all the delights of this world. That's essentially what we do every single day. If we really sit down and think about it, this is even what drives us to the work that we feel is such a noble preoccupation. We work to earn an honest living. But what drives us is the desire to consume. We want more. We want to satisfy every desire, every prompting, every whim and every fancy of the soul. Now, fasting during Ramadan causes even the most neglectful and heedless and the most stubborn to actually feel their weakness and their poverty. Innately, we are actually poverty-stricken. Hunger becomes an important consideration for us. It reminds us actually of how fragile we are and how vulnerable our bodies are. We don't eat for a short period of time, and immediately we begin to weaken. We begin to disintegrate, essentially. And we come to perceive to what extent we actually need compassion, we need care, we need the vigilant compassion and benevolence of a master and Allah who provides us for our every need. And in so doing, we begin to give up this haughtiness, this arrogance that we have as human beings. We feel then a desire to take refuge in the generous court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand our perfect helplessness before that Allah. We then rise, hopefully, in the dead of the night, which is what Ramadan is also about, the night vigil. The Taraweeh is a prelude to the Tahajjud. And we knock on the door of that Allah, who is the provider of all humanity. And we know that we are in need of His provision because we are fragile. Fasting sensitizes us to our fragility. There's much more that can be said. There's a beautiful hadith that I wanted to narrate to you before we conclude. Like I mentioned before we recite the hadith, fasting breaks this sense of illusion that we have, that we are lords and masters of our own destiny. It reminds us, like I said, that we are helpless, that we are fragile. It convinces us that we are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not masters. The nafs doesn't like to acknowledge the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our base ego arrogantly assumes lordship for itself. It's only hunger, actually, that becomes the most effective tool in moderating and disciplining the soul and removing these veils of illusion, these illusory veils of lordship. It's only hunger and fasting during the month of Ramadan that actually breaks the back of that obstinate, stubborn nafs. And that shows us and reveals to us our helplessness and our fragility. It's related in one hadith that it's a hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once addressed the nafs ammar, that ego within each and every one of us. Allah addressed the nafs saying that, "Who am I and who are you?" Upon which the nafs replied, "You are yourself and I am myself." And however much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tormented the nafs and asked the same question, Allah received the same answer from the nafs. "You are yourself and I am myself." At last, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected the nafs to hunger. And then Allah asked the nafs the same question, that, "Who am I and who are you?" Upon which the nafs said, that, "Oh Allah, you are my all-compassionate Lord, and I am your helpless servant." Now this hadith Qudsi emphasizes everything I've mentioned up to this point. That fasting is a means whereby we remove those veils of causality, whereby we remove those veils of illusory lordship, whereby we remove the arrogance and the pride and the haughtiness and the stubbornness that each one of us, unfortunately, have within ourselves as a component of our ego. And it makes us realize that we are nothing more and nothing less than servants of a very generous and a very kind and a very compassionate and a very benevolent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This essentially is the most important purpose of fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares this in the Quran, that kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting has been prescribed to you, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, like it was prescribed to all the nations before, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you may attain taqwa. And what is taqwa? Taqwa is Allah consciousness. Awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Rabb, and we are no more and no less than His servants. This engenders a sense of awe and of fear, fear of losing His good favor. It then leads to piety, what we call piety, and righteous conduct. So essentially this is the purpose of fasting. And the beginning of fasting is recognition of our servanthood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And deprivation from food exposes us to our fragility and how vulnerable we really are. And how much we really are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gracious benevolence. There is a hadith narrated by Bayhaqi in which Salman Farsi radiallahu anh narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once delivered a sermon just before the commencement of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "O people, the month of Allah, the month of Ramadan has come with its mercies, with its blessings, with its forgiveness. Allah has decreed this month the best of all months. The days of this month are the best among the days, and the nights are the best among the nights. And the hours during this month are the best amongst the hours. This is a month in which you have been invited by Allah to fast and to perform salah. Allah has honored you in it. In every breath you take is a reward of Allah. Your sleep is worship. Your good deeds are accepted and multiplied, and your invocations, your du'as are answered. Therefore, you must invoke your Lord. You must beg of Allah in all earnestness, in sincerity, with hearts free from sin and evil, and pray that Allah may help you to keep fast and to recite the Quran. Indeed, miserable is the one who is deprived of Allah's forgiveness in this great month. While fasting, remember the hunger and the thirst on the day of Qiyamah. Give abundant sadaqah, abundant charity to the poor and the needy and in every good cause. Pay respect to your elders. Have sympathy to your young ones. Be kind to them. And be kind particularly towards your relatives, your parents, and your extended family. Guard your tongue against all unworthy words, and your eyes from scenes that are not worth seeing, and your ears from sounds that should not be heard. Be kind to orphans, so that if your children may become orphans, they will also be treated with kindness. Do ask Allah for forgiveness for your sins, and supplicate with hands raised high at the times of salah, as these times of salah are the best times during which Allah looks at His servants with mercy and answers dua. Allah answers if they make dua. Allah responds if they call. Allah grants if they ask, and accepts if they beg. O people, you have made your conscience the slave of your desires, so break your desires. Make it free by invoking Allah for forgiveness firstly. Your back may break from the heavy load of your sin. So bow down and prostrate yourself before Allah for long intervals, particularly at night, and in this way make your load lighter that you will carry on the day of judgment. Understand fully that Allah has promised by His honor and His majesty that people who perform salah and sajda particularly will be guarded from the fire of hell on the day of judgment. O people, if anyone amongst you arranges for iftar, for any believer, Allah will reward him as if he had freed a slave, and Allah will forgive from him his sins and free him like a slave from the fire of hell. One of the Sahaba then said, O Prophet of Allah, but not all of us have the means by which to feed a fasting man. Upon which the Prophet ﷺ said, keep yourself away from Jahannam, though it may consist even of half a piece of a date, or even a sip of water if you have nothing else. And others give to others. O people, anyone who during this month cultivates good manners will walk over the bridge of Sirat on the day of judgment with feet that will not slip. The bridge of Sirat is that bridge over hell, which is thinner than a strand of hair and sharper than a sword, that each of us will have to cross over. If we make a special effort to cultivate good habits, not to become angry, for example, to forgive and overlook people's faults, for example, then Allah will cause us to pass over this bridge faster than the speed of lightning, and our feet will not slip. Anyone who during this month eases the workload of his servants, Allah will make easy his accounting. And for anyone who doesn't hurt others during this month, Allah will safeguard him from his anger on the day of judgment. So we should give our employees off early, an hour or two earlier. And also when it comes to our children, we should lighten the burden on them at home. Anyone who respects and treats an orphan with kindness, particularly during this month, or the widow, Allah shall look at him with kindness on that day when no kindness will be shown. In other words, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will be very strict in punishing those that transgressed his limits. But Allah's kindness will be on that day for those who are kind in this world. Anyone who treats his family particularly well during this month, Allah will bestow His special mercy on him on that day when there will be no mercy. While anyone who mistreats his kinsmen, his family, particularly during this month, Allah will keep far away from His mercy on that day, the day of judgment. Whoever offers the recommended salah during this month, Allah will save him from the fire of hell. And whoever observes his fara'id, his obligatory duties during this month, Allah will reward him 70-fold as compared to any other month. Whomsoever repeatedly begs Allah for blessings upon me, salawat and salam, invoking the blessings of Allah upon the Prophet Muhammad, Allah will keep his scale of good deeds heavy. while the scales of others will be tending to lightness. Whomsoever recites during this month even a single verse of the Holy Quran will get the reward of reciting the whole Quran in any other month. O people, the gates of Jannah remain open during this month, so pray to Allah that they may not be closed for you, while the gates of hell are closed for you during this month. So pray to Allah that they be never opened for you. Shaitan has been chained, so pray to Allah not to let him dominate you. Ali bin Abi Talib then said, O Prophet of Allah, what are the best deeds during this month? Upon which the Prophet ﷺ said, that, O Ali, the best of deeds during this month is to be far from what Allah has made haram. If you just stay away from what is haram, this is more than enough. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.